Well, according to new research in Britain, there's been a 50% increase in accidents involving cyclists and pedestrians just in the past 7 years. We now have a crash a day, one crash a day, which may have prompted Brendan O'Neill, the editor of the online magazine Spiked, to let rip in today's Daily Mail with a verbal assault on what he describes as puffed up, lycra-clad, two-wheeled eco-warriors. He said he'd rather take his chances with the carbon emissions from cars than with the moral emissions emanating from smug cyclists. Brendan O'Neill joins us now, along with Tanya Jones from the Green Party. Welcome to both of you. Did you have too much coffee before you wrote this, Brendan?
Maybe. Actually, I had a couple of beers. I think that might be
it. Might explain it, yeah.
It wasn't really, you know, it wasn't really aimed at all cyclists. You know, I cycle myself sometimes. It's more
of a never in lycra.
Never in lycra, no way. I've never been seen dead in lycra. It was more about a certain kind of cyclist. And I think most people will know what kind of cyclist I'm talking about. The ones who are a bit sanctimonious, who think that riding a bike is not simply about getting from one place to another, but is really about saving the planet from cars and eco-doom and all these other bad things. I think when you ride a bike with that sense of how important you are, with that sense of self-importance, you do become a bit irritating, and I find them quite irritating.
That's just personal, though. I mean, when you look at the environment, when you look at the infrastructure of our cities and towns, isn't cycling the way forward for many cities and towns, across Europe anyway?
I don't think so. I mean, I'm all in favour of people cycling. I mean, it's good fun, it's enjoyable, it's good exercise. I think all those things are fine. But when cities reorientate themselves around cycling, I think what they're really doing is giving up on coming up with new solutions to how to have better modern transport. I mean, just take the example of London. There's a real problem in London with insufficient road space for growing numbers of cars. And officials, instead of thinking to themselves, how might we increase road space? Maybe we need a couple of flyovers, or maybe we need other forms of transport to get people around the city faster and with fewer traffic jams. Instead of saying that, they build these new cycling lanes and they say everyone should get on their bike. It's a cop-out. And actually what it ends up doing is shrinking road space. So cars are sat around for longer, coughing out more fumes. So the ironic consequence often is that air quality gets worse.
Tanya, in other places like Copenhagen, they've developed things like overhead cycle lanes, separating the cars and the pedestrians from the cyclists. But in many towns like cities like London, roads, of course, were an afterthought in terms of the development of the city. Cycling's an afterthought beyond that as well. That is a big problem.
Yes, it is, yes. First of all, I'd like to say that I really welcome the fact that Brendan's admitted to being a cyclist, and I think it's a shame.
I was surprised by that, given that article.
I think it's a shame that the article was so divisive, you know, dividing people up into those rigid categories of, you know, drivers, cyclists, pedestrians.
He makes cyclists sound like a personality type, doesn't he?
Yes, and, you know, most adult cyclists are sometimes drivers, and most drivers have been cyclists at some point in their lives. So I don't think it's helpful to be drawing those distinctions.
And isn't it true to say that most of the road rage on the roads is actually from drivers?
I think it is, yes. And certainly most of the accidents are caused by drivers. I mean, we have the figures from Great Britain for 2014, which are the last ones available. And the accidents between pedestrians and one vehicle, between pedestrians and a bike, there were 461, and between pedestrians and a motor vehicle, there were 22,060. So it's hardly comparable.
And even, Brendan, when you look at the figures you put in your article, which were in the Daily Mail as well yesterday, about one crash a day involving cyclists and pedestrians, one crash a day across the whole of the United Kingdom? That's not so massive, is it?
No, it's not a huge problem, but I'm nonetheless interested in why there might be a rise in these kind of incidents, which there has been, and which is, as I say in the article, it's partly down to the fact that more people are cycling. I also think it's down to the fact that lots of the rules around cycling have been quite self-consciously relaxed. So police forces now say that they won't impose petty fines on cyclists going on pavements, for example. Motorists are seen as the true cause of every problem on the roads, and cyclists tend to be let off the hook. So I think that culture, that kind of flattery of cyclists as the most positive force on the roads, contributes to this sense that they can pretty much do whatever they want. That's the kind of thing I'm worried about. But what I think is really going on here is that cyclists are, not only are they taking to the roads and traveling around, which they're absolutely at liberty to do, of course, but they're setting themselves up often as morally superior to cars. Cars are seen as a kind of devilish contraption, and stupid people drive them, coughing out these fumes into the city, whereas cyclists tend to be seen as quite pure and good. And when you create that kind of moral conflict on the roads, I think that does give rise to a lot of tension.
Question for you. Would you agree with this, Tanya? Just three things this text says. Mirrors, mirrors, mirrors. Cyclists should not be allowed on the roads without mirrors.
I think it depends what kind of cycling you're doing and where you're doing it. Certainly, cycling around Enniskillen as I do and across Fermanagh, there wouldn't be any advantage in having mirrors.